This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number and pull, you know. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Another day of the cold.
Yeah, man. You know, is tomorrow the day that we're supposed to get 40?
I think Friday's supposed to hit 40, but I would expect it's supposed to start trending that direction tomorrow.
Yeah, one day, and then it drops back down. But anyway, for those of you, you know, who are watching this, let me do this. Please help the victims of the devastating fires in California. You will find an easy way to donate to the Convoy of Hope at our website, civicmedia.us, and thank you. For those of you who are watching this via the stream, you know, I have on my woke hat, and people always ask me, well, why do you have a hat on that says woke? And I'm like, hey, man, I know the definition of woke, the real definition of woke. According to Merriam-Webster or Rose's Thesaurus, not the definition of woke according to Republicans who've changed the definition. So it's my way of protesting. I wear my woke hat. I like to go amongst the enemy, and I always have my woke hat on. Hey, what is that? Hey, man, look up the definition. You'll find out what it is.
I like that. I like that, Earl. You're going to have to put that out there. I'm going to get one.
So anyway, it's Wednesday, and that means I am always honored and privileged to have on the gang, Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life Flack, and Paul Swartz, who is here, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And as Tony says this morning, time to get the lead out. So so good morning, guys, and how are you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning. I think you had it right the first time. Fort water for fresh life.
Man, Robert, you know, another situation in our city. I'll let you, you know, begin, and then we'll just, you know, do what we do.
No problem. And let me allow my colleague to introduce himself as well.
Oh, I didn't introduce Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead Free Water. I certainly apologize, sir.
No. And Calvin, the hardest working tech that I know, for this opportunity, and it's a really important subject today. So back to Robert.
Yeah, and I want to say this, Robert, before we let you get started. It is just so frustrating to me. I'm looking at a Newsweek article, late 2024, and it says map shows states with most dangerous levels of lead in pipes. And you look at a place like Illinois, the worst, in Florida, the worst of the worst, and you look at the sheer numbers of children, man. Per EPA, Illinois has a projected 702,526 lead service lines and a projected 1,071,355 lead lines. And then they talk about how many children, you know, are affected by this. And man, I don't know how you can even sleep when you know those numbers of families and children are being poisoned and we can't get it fixed.
Yeah, it's a very, very serious hazard. that is damaging the health of children today and generations to come. It's something that this government needs to take much more seriously. The people of this country need to really study it and understand it much more than they have right now. And the whole idea that this is just hurting and harming the development of our children. A lot of our children grow up to be adults who have been poisoned and lose a lot of potential and a lot of human creativity once they are tainted and harmed by this. You know, the level of lead that impacts our body is really dependent on the system of the body of the individual, but some of us may be able to handle it better than others. But the problem is that a lot of children who do not handle this become damaged for life. And there needs to be efforts to not only remove this hazard, but to educate the public with solid science-based information that gives them the opportunity to challenge the system in the way it needs to be challenged to correct this problem. And go ahead, Paul.
Paul.
No, spot on, Robert. And I just wanted to say a little bit about, for the listeners, about what lead does from a health perspective. Robert touched on the permanency of damage that happens when you have an exposure to lead, but lead is implicated in developmental delays, lowered IQ, damage to the brain and nervous system, learning and behavioral problems, hearing problems, headaches, reproductive problems, higher blood pressure, kidney problems, premature births, miscarriage, spontaneous abortions, stillbirths, reduced sperm counts, among other things. And while it really damages fetuses that are in development and children between, you know, from birth to six more, because they're not just little adults and their systems are developing, it can harm every person. And you know, the problems of cardiovascular issues happen in part because of lead exposure. So really, because lead is omnipresent, it's everywhere in our built environment, it's something to pay attention to. And the issue of lead in water and what we're talking about in the schools is something that is really misunderstood by school officials, by health departments, and by the folks who inhabit the schools, you know, whether they're little kids or women of childbearing age. You know, we have child and daycare centers in some schools, you know, all those things. So we're going to talk a little bit about today about one circumstance, but I think you can pretty much generalize from that circumstance to Milwaukee and across the school districts in Wisconsin and around the country.
You know, Robert, before we get into that, I've been thinking about this. So lead in the water and children of today who've been impacted. You know, Paul, Robert, our generation were also exposed to lead water. And when we look at our development and the things that have impacted and affected many of us, and we haven't attributed those things to lead in the water, but clearly all of us who've been exposed to lead in the water, you know, baby boomers and such, have been affected by this. Is it safe to say that, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Lead has been in multiple generations here in the United States, and it's a known teratogen, which means it gets passed from the mother through to the baby. And so people are born with body burdens of lead already. And then we add to it. So absolutely, Earl.
And the idea that, you know, when we talk about lead poisoning specific to the Black community, where a large number of these pipes and the lead in water is significant. I've, over the last 10 years on this issue here in Milwaukee, I have spoke with many, many people. And people who used to live in the north side and in areas where there are pockets of lead pipes that are just in huge numbers would tell me, you know, when I was growing up here on Burleigh, right, or somewhere, and when I moved out of that environment and moved into Oak Creek, or I moved into Sussex, my health started getting better. I stopped getting headaches. I stopped feeling sick. And that's because they who are there now in the north side of Milwaukee, who are not able to get out of that environment, are being poisoned every day by a ubiquitous element in the water, and that is lead. And they're constantly being poisoned, and their body is being affected in one way or another. They don't understand it well enough to realize that they're getting sick until they move out of that environment, right, and get into a cleaner environment, a fresher water providing environment, that they start realizing that their health is being affected in one way or another. And that's when they start putting it together that water was playing a role in the way they were feeling.
You know, Robert, you're a military vet, and you know, the amount of money that we spend in development of weapons of mass destruction and the waste that we spend in our military budget could fix all of this, and you know, and not put a dent in the military budget. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll certainly get to you. My guests are Robert Miranda. He's with Fresh Water for Life, FLAC, and Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, a school in the city of Milwaukee where a student has just been, you know, diagnosed with lead poisoning. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guests are Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and my good friend Robert Miranda of FLAC. And Robert, you want to talk, before we go to the phone lines and answer some texts, Robert, you want to talk about a situation that occurred in Milwaukee Public Schools and is in the journal Sentinel the last couple of days.
So a parent contacted me recently, a couple of days ago, and provided us copies the GTLO, the Get the Lead Out Coalition, copies of a press release that was issued by the Milwaukee Public Schools announcing that a student at Golden Meier School here in Milwaukee was determined to have been lead poisoned. And they're determined that the lead poisoning was caused by lead paint out of the building's basement bathroom area there. And so the parent was concerned and asked for our input and assistance in looking into this matter. And we were able to provide support and give guidance as to the kind of response parents at the school should be having while they're being told certain things that from the press release we saw was already providing misinformation and misleading information. In regards to the lead paint issue, the MPS officials,
Milwaukee Public Schools, for people who don't know, but go ahead.
Right. Milwaukee Public Schools officials are doing their work in regards to that. But as they're moving forward and talking about lead and water, the information becomes murky and inaccurate in some cases. And you see that already when they announce preventative measures in the press release. And the press release talks about how families can take care of themselves. And one of those is, again, dealing with this issue of flushing your water for a few minutes and basically running it. And that supposedly will become magically free of lead. Again, it does do the work to remove soluble lead in the water. It'll remove soluble lead. But as you run the water, studies like the one at Louisiana State University, the study shows that it is really an unreliable kind of way of fighting lead in water. And when you run water, the water's energy moving through the pipe tends to release particulate matter into the water. The longer the water runs, the more likely particulate matter falls into the water. So I don't blame MPS for pushing that narrative. I do blame the Milwaukee Health Department and the Milwaukee Water Works for continuing to press that narrative, because if they're going to, I blame them for not at least putting a disclaimer with that, saying that there are studies out there that indicate this practice is not as reliable as having filters. And that's the other issue I have with the press release of Milwaukee Public Schools. And the public schools put out this press release on the Golden Meier incident and says nothing in the preventative measures to use filters. And again, this is tragic for the families at the school, for the city, for the country as a whole. And what government and government agencies and institutions need to do is make a priority of advising families and the community that the first line of defense against this scourge are filters, period. That is the biggest misleading information that they're putting out there, is not including in a lot of their narratives and a lot of their documents. Filters must be the top priority of families to be putting in their homes to fight against this scourge.
You know, Paul, we're going to ask you, because you're in, for people who don't know, you're in Washington, D.C. You've been fighting this battle, campaign for lead-free water, and you've had to deal with these things in schools. Your thoughts?
Thank you, Earl, for that question. I think in the meeting that the Milwaukee Public School folks had with the parents and the principal of Golda Meir, as Robert said, there was a lot of information that was put out. And some of that information was really helpful, like there are water filters at the bubblers. They were installed in 2016. And the problem with that is that we don't really have any transparency about how often and when tests have been done about whether those filters are working. We don't have the results from those filter tests being accessible. We're not clear where the filters have been placed or not placed. One of the things that was said by Craig Wentworth.
Paul, I got to get you to hold the thought. 855-752-4842. We're talking with again Robert Miranda and Paul Swartz, and we're dealing with lead in the water. We'll come to you guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It was Wednesday. That means Robert Miranda from Plaque and Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead Free Water. And we're talking about an article that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and a parent that Robert talked to that reached out to him as their child was found to be lead poisoned in one of Milwaukee public schools. But before we go back to Paul, Robert, I think it's important to say that Golda Meir is one of the top performing schools in Milwaukee Public Schools and can compete with schools anywhere in the nation. So these are parents who are informed. These are parents who, for the most part, are educated. And these are parents who are not going to take things sitting down. They're engaged in their child's life and their child's education. So you're not talking about, something that's going to be just brushed over. Is it safe to say that, Robert?
Oh, yeah. And the recent letter that this parent sent to the Milwaukee Public Schools officials truly indicates the level of knowledge and concern that she has in regards to this matter, Golda Meir Library or Golda Meir School. Questions that she raised, she even had information regarding maximum containment level goals that was released by the LCR back in like 1991, challenging MPS officials who were basically saying at the meeting that the parents were at that the lead levels in the water were safe. And she basically challenged that and said, you know, I'm going to have to differ with you on that. The maximum containment goals that was put out there by the lead copper rule says the safe level of lead is zero. So wherever MPS is getting that information is basically coming from the EPA, really, who is using this non-health science-based backed number that they're throwing out there of an acceptable level of lead. An EPA that is not as strong as it should be, but will become even weaker now that we have a new administration coming in. And if you think it's a cesspool now at the EPA, it's going to be something more and something worse under the Trump administration.
Hey, Paul, you were saying before we went to break about, you know, Washington, D.C., and I asked a question about, you know, how you guys were able to, you know, with the schools and the same kind of issues we're talking about, how did that wind up?
Yeah, Earl. In D.C., we've had a very similar situation to Milwaukee and many other places around the country with lead and water in our schools and really bad information. Unfortunately, the approach that lots of schools have taken is to really not look at the water and understand how it comes through the tap. In D.C., as in Milwaukee, we established a filter first program. Unfortunately, in Milwaukee, according to Craig Wentworth.
Who is Craig Wentworth?
So he's one of the people within the Milwaukee public school system who's dealing with this lead crisis, okay. Hold of my ear. And he said that while they've placed filters that have the appropriate certifications to remove lead at the bubblers, at the fountains, that if they take a test of a tap and it comes at some, what he called low number, then they don't get fitted with filters. And the real problem with that is that it betrays a lack of knowledge and expertise about lead and water. So imagine Russian roulette. If you have a gun with six chambers and you put only one bullet in, the first five times you shoot, you might not have a bullet come out. But the sixth time,
it's guaranteed, it's gonna, right?
And the same thing is true with these taps that they say have low numbers. And then they compound the problem by saying that because there's no lead laterals or lead service lines going into the schools, that there really shouldn't be a problem. Now, they did say they swapped out some of the leaded brass fittings and faucets. But, you know, in schools, you have lots of linear feet of lead pipe. And as Robert was saying earlier, you can have both soluble lead, that's like sugar being mixed in water, hot water or for coffee or tea. And you can have lead particles that fall off randomly. And so testing doesn't often capture those lead particles that can have up to hazardous waste levels of lead. They just come out variably. And so one question that we would have for the Milwaukee public school system and for the health department in Milwaukee is, who are their experts on lead and water? And what is the science that they're pointing to? Can they show us that? And how are they actually dealing with testing protocols? You know, in DC, we test at least once a year and there's a public website that shows what the results of the tests are. And those are post-filtration tests. And the filtration stations are for all of the water that's used for drinking and cooking in the schools. We don't have a perfect system here in DC, but it's brought down the exposure tremendously. And so we would like some more transparency from the Department of Health and from the Milwaukee public schools officials to understand what their protocols are. And that also goes to the blood testing issue, because we don't know if all of the students have been tested. We also know that blood lead only lasts in the blood, has a half-life of about 30 days. So if people aren't getting tested within this window or 60-day window, then they can have either dramatically decreased levels of lead in their blood, or you can miss it altogether and the damage has
been done. Well, the schools don't test the students. That's something that's done independently by doctors and parents. Is that safe to say, Robert?
There are opportunities for students of MPS to get tested if parents would ask MPS to move on that. But by and large, I think the testing is basically done at a as needed kind of basis.
Right.
And so MPS, as you recall, back in 2016, did a district-wide test of all their bubblers throughout the district. And at that time, they found over 180 issues of bubblers out of over 3,000 that they tested. And that's when they went ahead and started moving on a filter program and started putting out filters in all their bubblers. That's 10 years ago, just about. The question becomes now, since that time and in between, have the filters been maintained properly? Have they done the kind of test in that period from the time they tested district-wide in 2016 to the present? Have they done testing like that again? And have they basically been informing parents as to the safety of their waters in their schools? And so there has to be more information coming out of MPS in regards to lead and water. I know they're doing a lot of work around the lead paint issue, but to basically do what this administration here in Milwaukee likes to do, and that is to dismiss the hazard of lead in water as a kind of secondary, second class hazard that isn't as important as lead paint, is an injustice that is being conducted against the community. And it's a harm being done on the community because lead in water is as prevalent of an issue, of a danger to the health of our community as much as lead paint, soil, and dust.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and your guests. They came through our small community and replaced the laterals to a lot of the old Victorian homes. And I inquired how much the city got a grant, and the company came through, and I found out that supposedly the contractor got about $6,000 a lateral. That, I don't know if that figure is accurate. That is a question. But they were there for about maybe 3.5 or 4 hours. Just think of how many Brita filters and pitchers could be distributed throughout the country and solve the problem for $30 a pitcher or a filter system. You talk about the filter system for the schools. That is a great idea. and it should be pursued.
Hey, CJ, a Brita filter basically holds a gallon or two worth of water. It's the stopgap. It's not the solution.
I put a filter system on my house for about $1,200 for the water that comes into the house, because like I asked you before, Earl, and one of your guests previously about this, sure, it was great for the city to get spend $6,000 of the federal government to spend $6,000 for the lateral, but the old Victorian still has lead pipes in the house. How much does that cost to replace those pipes?
Okay. Either one of you want to respond to that?
Yeah, thanks, CJ, for your points. I think they're very trenchant. And Earl, you're right that filters are a temporary solution while we're looking to get lead out of contact with water, but really necessary. And from a public health prevention perspective, we need to make sure that people know what are the right filters and where to place them. And CJ, hopefully, in addition to your whole house filter, which is very expensive, that you have something that gets rid of the lead that's accumulating in the water from the pipes inside the home and all the way through the faucet. And that's why we recommend faucet-mounted or countertop-style filters that are certified with the NSF 42 and 53 certifications to get rid of dissolved lead and to get rid of lead particles. In terms of the cost question that CJ asked, it's prohibitively expensive to swap out the lead pipes or the pipes with the lead solder and flux in homes. And
all
we
right.
Currently don't manufacture lead-free pipes.
All right, 855-752-4842. We're talking about lead in the water. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guests, Robert Miranda of Flat and Paul Schwartz, co-founder for Lead Free Water. Tony says, what are the lead tests like? Is it something you can do your on your own, or do you have to go somewhere to get it done? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, for thanks for that, Tony. For testing at the tap, that's a really difficult thing to get right. So if you want to figure out how much lead on average is coming through your tap, for worst case scenarios, according to peer-reviewed literature, because of the high variability of lead, it can take upwards of 1,200 tests to get with confidence within 20% of a mean value coming out of any one tap. So you can get a test that might tell you what is at your tap for the moment, but not what will be there in an hour, a day, a week, or a month. And so you can have zero or pretty, you know, one or two or three parts per billion now, and you can have hundreds or thousands of parts per billion in an hour, a day, or a week. You so know, it's a little bit like whack-a-mole.
He also asked that, you know, you guys had an excellent explanation of the problem of lead in the water. He says, what does Wisconsin look like if we fix this, and what's the vision of the future?
Well, Wisconsin would look like a very productive state. The city of Milwaukee would look like a city that has been able to stabilize. And what I mean by stabilize is, for example, reduce crime levels, improve educational achievements, getting rid of this element would really vastly improve the stability of the community. And I want to touch a little bit on what CJ brought up. I mean, I want to make sure that the point is clear. When I advocate for filters, I advocate it as a primary defense against this in our water supply. I advocate strongly for the removal of the pipes. And he said that he talked with the people and they told him $6,000 to remove those pipes, laterals, is a bargain. I've been in many meetings where the number to cost to remove pipes have been $11,000, $12,000, $13,000. So $6,000 is a bargain. But it is important to remove these lead laterals. They gotta be removed because it's not only impacting the home that the lateral is tied into, it's impacting the entire water system of the city. Imagine 60,000, 70,000 pipes that are made of lead servicing our homes. A lot of that lead is being put back into the mains and circulating throughout the city through the mains. And especially when they flush out hydrants, you every now and then in the summer, you see them flushing out hydrants. That water gets pulled out, and a lot of that water from the lead laterals get pulled back into the main. And that's all being contaminated. And so it's no wonder that as the Milwaukee Water Works does its 90 percentile readings, that their tests come out saying that there is some form of detectable lead level in the water after their tests have been completed. And in this recent report they did in 2023, it was at a level of 5.3 parts per billion. That they haven't achieved zero at all. There's still lead in the water, and it's everywhere. It isn't just in the homes it's that are affected. It is everywhere.
Paul?
Thank you. So I think it's important to recognize that the investments we make as a people collectively through our government are really important, because the market's not going to take care of this. And without thinking about what the real benefits are going to be for getting the lead out of the water, we're going to cut off our nose to spite our face. In terms of the lead exposures across communities, there's both individual costs and there's community costs. Studies show that when you have broad-scale lead exposure, there's a 20 to 23-year gap between that lead exposure and increases in anger and violence and close associations with homicide. So there's a price to be paid, not only at the individual level that we've been talking about, but at the community level as well.
So, guys, I want to thank you once again. We'll be reconnecting on next week. Have a great week, and look forward to seeing you guys again next Wednesday.
Take care, Earl.
All right, thank you. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We've got a lot to talk about today. One of the things we're going to talk about is Democrats looking for new blood. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Drop all your troubles by the riverside. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel fly.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.